A scratchy veil of fatigue irritated my eyes. My mind was paper thin. I had been working all day and half the night, and now I was afraid to go to sleep. Was my mind playing tricks on me? It seemed that I could hear a tune. Well, hardly a tune, just 5 lost notes. I opened the window to be sure. Yes, there was definitely sound coming from the garden. Were these 5 notes the opening of a lullaby, or the dying fall of a lament? It was impossible to say. With no beginning and no ending to frame them, no melody to hold them in place, whatever it was that bound them together seemed precariously insecure. The notes soon to be scattered to the wind like the last leaves from a winter tree. It was nothing, I told myself, and prepared to go back to sleep. But then, in a lull in the rainstorm, 3 notes raised themselves above the water. I pulled on boots and a coat and went outside into the blackness. I could not see my hand in front of my face. The rain had stopped. Nothing to hear but the squelch of my boots on the lawn. And then I caught a trace of it. A harsh, unmusical sound. Not an instrument, but an atonal, discordant human voice. Slowly and with frequent stops, I tracked the notes. I went down the long borders and turned into the garden with the pond. At least I think that's where I went. I soon gave up trying to work out where I was, took my bearings from my ears alone, followed the notes like Ariadne's thread through a labyrinth I had ceased to recognize. How long did I stumble after it in the dark? Was it a quarter of an hour? Half an hour? All I know is that at the end of that time I found myself back at the very door by which I had left the house. I had come, or been led, full circle. The silence was very final. The notes had died, and in their place the rain started again. Instead of going in, I sat on the bench, rested my head on my crossed arms, feeling the rain tap on my back, my neck, my hair. It began to seem a foolish thing to have gone chasing about the garden after something so insubstantial, and I managed to persuade myself, almost, that I had heard nothing but the creation of my own imagination. And then my spine sent me an alarm. A presence. Here. Now. At my side. I jerked up and looked around. The darkness was total. There was nothing and no one to see. Everything, even the great oak, had been swallowed up in the darkness, and the world had shrunk to the eyes that were watching me and the wild frenzy of my heart. Not Miss Winter. Not here, not at this time of night. Then who? I felt it before I felt it. The touch against my side. The here and gone again. It was the cat. Shadow. Again he nudged me. Another cheek rub against my ribs and a meow, rather tardily, to announce himself. I reached out my hand and stroked him, while my heart attempted to find a rhythm. The cat purred. "You're all wet," I told him. "Come on, silly, it's no night to be out." He followed me to my room, licked himself dry while I wrapped my hair in a towel, and we fell asleep together on the bed.